My name is James Austin. I'm the ministering evangelist at the McDonough Avenue Church of Christ in Richmond, Bay Area. And I'm going to be teaching and sharing with you a lesson that may seem to be kind of out of the box, so to speak, but that's me. I like those spiritual challenges where you have to really think outside of the circumference that you typically, normally are used to or accustomed to. So, although you've come to hear me, I've come to watch how you react. Just plain and simple. Plain and simple. I'm kind of like that as a speaker anyway. So, I think that it's important and most imperative that we look at what God is trying to do with us. Basically, outside of the typical, normal comfort zone that we have basically become accustomed to in a lot of ways in the Lord's church. So that's my challenge to you. My challenge to you as I pray for you, as I pray for us, that God will continue to work in your life, and I do believe that he does work in our lives in special ways, for special causes. For special purposes for our lives, and that oftentimes we're pushed into an area of what I call a feeling of unsafe comfort zone for us oftentimes, because whenever we are in a comfort zone, then God really can't move us to where he really wants us to go. So as you think about this particular lesson and the inner workings of what we will be sharing with you, then I believe that God will do something really refreshing in your life. So is that okay?
Yes.
So just don't simply just stand and just listen to me, or sit there and listen to me. I am going to see how you react, though, that's for sure. But I want you really to be real prayerful about your life, because I don't know where you're going, what God is doing in your life, but I do know this, that if you make yourself available, and you really entrust your life and your faith in God, then faith has something special for you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So without any further ado, of course, the lesson is about desperate faith. Won't you do that for me, sweetheart, because if you don't mind. I want you to turn your Bibles, or actually you don't have to turn your Bibles. We're going to look at a particular... We're going to use the setting, the prop of the Syrophoenicia woman for a basic foundation by which we can look at some of the, what I call, spiritual and divine dynamics of God's providence working in our lives, which is most important because I think, as Lamont so well put it, that we have moved without a doubt, into an era of time by which God is moving. I don't care how you may feel, how you may think, it is blatantly obvious that God is moving. And it becomes almost polarizing if you're not really ready to even embrace the providence of God. Especially if you have been a member of the Lord's church for any length of time. It can be quite polarizing for the child of God in that instance. Desperate faith, the concept came out of, or rather it was birthed out of my own personal experiences, as well as what I do as a behavior specialist for the school district of Jacksonville. But also in my counseling with members of the Lord's Church, and just watching in general the body of Christ overall, just seeing, watching, and seeing what's really taking place. I have a new sport love now. It's a new sport love. It's called adversity. You may want to write that down. You may want to write that one down. That's not new sports love. It's adversity. So. And it moved me into an area of my life as far as sports are concerned to stop. I don't have a favorite team. I'm from Texas. Grew up as a Cowboy fan, but because the Cowboys play at Church of Christ time, worship service, it really moved me from wanting to, you know, watch sports. So over the years, I developed this unique, what is called my sports love right now is adversity. So what I do is that I like seeing teams, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, basketball, track, or any game. I like seeing how individuals move themselves when they are at the end of losing. Mm-hmm. When they are losing. I like watching that. That's exciting to me. Just like last night when I was watching Golden State, I wanted to see how they would, you know, react to losing because they hadn't lost in 10 games. You know, I want to watch their body posture, their disposition, the countenance of it. I get excited about that. Forget about the score. It's overrated, okay? It's overrated. I'm watching the players. I'm watching, seeing how the human dilemma, the human dynamics overcome adversity. So that's my new sport love. Football is the same way. I love the Super Bowl. I want to see Tom Brady against the odds, you know, seeing how he's going to overcome this and what will take place. I love that kind of stuff. And that's my love right now, because I think you can really truly see the true essence of a real person when they're against the odds. Yeah. Y'all understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing of how the human spirit can be resolved and overcome. But in that the sport of adversity that I've grown to love and appreciate and watch, I have come to realize that there are other dynamics that come into play. Mm-hmm. There are other dynamics that come into play. So in this situation right here, the Bible says, the fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit, a demon, came and fell at Jesus' feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrophoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Now, already this woman has adversity. Already this woman is against the odds. She's not a Hebrew. She's not Jewish. She's not a worshiper, per se, the belief system of Judaism. So she has a lot of things against her. And more importantly, as a mother who has a daughter who is grievously vexed with demonic spirits. So you talk about adversity. Here it is. Here it is. But in any situation in life, especially being a child of God, you've got to be tenacious. Because outside of the scope of what we are typically accustomed to, the formalities by which we regimentally go through when it comes to going to worship, and the typical things that we do at worship, or Bible class on Wednesday night. How many of y'all have Bible class on Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights? Okay, so those particular things, life is about challenges. And oftentimes, life extremities and the issues of life oftentimes work outside of that scope of what we typically have become accustomed to. And that's where I truly believe that God really is trying to move us from being so regimental in areas of being comfortable to an area where we can extend our faith. Our faith is extended beyond the area of what we are used to. And this is a typical case right here. So we're going to look at some terms right here. Faith, something that happens, final result, or something that happens, and then our final result. Destined is a word that, as well as predestined, is a word that we are really afraid of theologically. We don't want really to talk about it because we don't really understand it. So when it comes into the Lord's church, although these are biblical words, in the Lord's church, we don't talk about predestination or predetermined or destined. So destined, of course, is a course of events, the act of appointing. So sort of kind of think about these terms as we go through this course of this lesson. Predestined or predetermined, to decide beforehand or settle beforehand. And, of course, faith, a belief, trust, complete confidence. Then we're going to talk about the faith, systematic teachings, or doctrine. So all of these biblical variables, I believe, I believe they all interrelate with each other. They all interrelate with each other. In some form or fashion, God commingles the human dilemma in all of these. Fate, destined, predestined or predetermined, fate and the fate. Now, let me tell you something. Let's go to the next slide. Let me tell you something about that. And I want you to write this down. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So when I look at you and I see you right now, I'm hoping and praying that you have some sense of purpose, or you are asking God, now that you're a child of God, that you're asking God to do something in your life or do something with your life, that you have some sense of purpose. If you have been living the Christian life for any length of time, if you have developed a walk with God at any length of time, at some point, Ellis, you've got to say to yourself, God, now, you know what? I've been systematically walking. I've been systematically believing and reading your word. I want to experience you beyond my comfortability or where I am. I really want a sense of purpose where you're utilizing my life and you're using my life for your greater good. Now, my brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about standing behind no pulpit. I'm not talking about standing up and teaching a class. I'm talking about being a user-friendly vessel. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Mm. I'm talking about making yourself available for God. Now, I don't know about you, but I get just excited. Because when you think about that, and you think about and read about what God can do, you can't help but be excited about those particularities about what God can do in your life. Amen. Really, seriously. I know for a fact that I am more than what God, or rather, let me put it like this. I know for a fact that I can do more than where I am right now, just at McDonough Avenue for 20 years, in the pulpit, teaching class on Wednesday night, and doing all the other things that I do. I know that I'm more than that.
That's right.
And I'm not satisfied with that. I want to take off the suit, I want to put on jeans, I want to put on tennis shoes, and I want to go somewhere where I'm walking with individuals that have struggles and issues and they are not used to the rhetoric of what I've become accustomed to over the last 35, 40 years in the Lord's church. Yeah. Now, I believe that.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
I want to be somewhere doing missionary work that's beyond what I've become accustomed to, the four walls in my office, in the pulpit, and the rhetoric of a system that I become comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I am not content. Now, that's just me. Gail say I'm crazy, but that's not me, okay? I'm not going with you, but that's kind of where I am right now. Because I talk about going all over the world and doing this and everything like that. You know, so, you know, she's used to us, you know, our high heel shoes and putting her hair in a bun and all those wonderful things. That's not me. That's just my vision. That's just my vision. And I feel strong about that. And I believe truly that God is moving me in that direction, because I really see in me the changes that's taking place in me and God moving me, and I am so comfortable with that. And that is very, very untypical of an African-American black preacher who preaches in the pulpit every Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
Y'all feel where I'm coming from? Very untypical, because that is our glory. My glory is taking off these shoes, taking off this suit, putting it on t-shirts and the blue jeans and getting out there in the field, you know, ministering to the people who work hard every day, you know, who just want to sit and know about Jesus. That is me. That's where I am right now. That's desperate faith. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm so determined to get there. So, the first thing we're going to talk about is time and chance, which is the great mystery of life. The great mystery of life. All right?
In Ecclesiastes, the proverbial preacher says here, he says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. Watch this. It's profound. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when that hour will come. No one knows that. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. This is a prolific, profound scripture, you guys. Have you ever wondered why certain things happen to some people and not to others? Why misfortune takes place in one place, in one person's life, and fortune to others? You look at our world events that play out daily in individuals' lives. Have you ever just sit there and just wondered, why did that happen to them? I was just reading just the other day, right before I got ready to go into classroom to do therapy, where a 17-year-old young girl was driving from UC Davis back to her home in Concord, around about 1 o'clock in the morning. She pulled over to the side of the road to check if something was going on with her tire. Another car pulled up behind her just to see if she needed some help. A shuttle that goes back and forth to the airport, for some reason or another, 1 o'clock in the morning, veered off to the side of the road. Hit the car that pulled over. That car hit her and killed her. How many times have you pulled over the side of the road? How many times have you seen people pull over the side of the road? And I can give you countless and countless, and I'm sure you can too, of situations that you ask yourself, why? You know, some things happen to some people, certain things doesn't happen to other people. You know? Why have you survived many trials and testings and others stop believing in God? There's a reason for that. But what that's all about is time and chance. It's a great mystery of life. It's those questions, situations, or circumstances that make you sigh. It's those very same questions, Stacy, that make you so perplexed about, God, can you explain that one to me? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there? God, can you just explain this one to me? Because it just don't make any sense at all, time and chance. But this scripture basically dictates to us that it happens to us all. Just you can work so hard to get somewhere, and then all of a sudden you get sick with cancer at the age of 28, 29 years old, and your life is over before you're 30. And then someone else does the complete opposite and live to be 125 years old. And nothing happens to them along the way. It's just time and chance. That scripture really helped me to understand the normalities of just life in general. Having that particular knowledge of insight, of understanding that is not necessarily of your pedigree or where you live or what kind of education that you have, it lets me know that if time and chance is happening all the time with everybody and anybody, I could be that somebody that day, then my God, I need God in my life. Can you see how imperative it is to know that, okay, it is an actual fact that time is chance. Just getting on a plane, driving down the freeway, coming here 400 miles. It could be that time and chance that something invariable could take place where my life is intersecting with something or someone that's going to cause my life to have fatality. I need God. I need that extra something that gives me the edge. Pretty much like if y'all ever studied the prayer of Jabez. You notice in Jabez's prayer, he said, Lord, you know, keep your hands on me. You know, extend my territory. Put your hands up on me. Don't take your hands off of me. You know, because I got some issues. I got some real problems. So you know what? You better, I know time and chance is happening in my life. I need this. Enlarge my territory. You know, bless me. Favor my life. Jabez obviously recognized that life and situations and issues and challenges, they do take place. It's the human dilemma. Basically, it's the human dilemma. Which tells me that in the normal realm of the human dilemma, that I am no different than anyone else. That make the difference in my life as a child, as a human being, is the fact that I'm a child of God. And that is important to me. Because of life's extremities, I found myself in witness in the life of others many times, all the time. Just did a eulogy of a gentleman of the Lord's church just the other day. That oftentimes people are in desperate places with a desperate faith. This is what this is all about. So you can see now how I'm going to watch how you react. And why right now you stop thinking about me and what I have on. You're thinking about yourselves in this situation right now. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Alright, so let's look at it. To help us understand this, we've already talked about, we're going to look at this Syrophoenician woman. Her circumstance revealed how strong her faith was. F-A-I-T-H. It led to the fate of her life. Alright? Desperate means basically being beyond hope. I think each of us can relate to this woman in some shape, form, or fashion in our lives. If you can, you might want to put this on your paper. This is called a sort of what I call the basic format, the backdrop of how this looks in my mind. Okay, this is just in my mind. Through my studies of the Word of God, through the studies of just living in this world, just through reading the Word of God, looking at life in general, this is kind of my visual concept of what time and chance is all about. First of all, we talked about time and chance is always taking place. It is always taking place. Always. Even right now. Time and chance is happening right now. Then there is the faith that we are in. Alright? The systematic faith that we are in. The Lord's church. The doctrine. The teachings of the Word of God. And I've always said this. I've said it years and years ago, even when I was a student here at Pepperdine, that there are two doctrines in the Lord's church. There's the Church of Christ doctrine, and there's the doctrine for the faith of the Church of Christ. My concept is that the faith consists of the systematic teachings of the Word of God and not the Church of Christ teachings that we have in our concept of the Word of God. All right? Then we have our faith connected to the faith. Then you have faith, all right? Things are just happening all the time, all right? And then you have trials. So these are all what I call, and then ultimately, this is where I praise God and thank Him every day, we have the providence of God. Mm-hmm. And you cannot say providence without saying provide. Mm-hmm. So just look at this. I mean, I really want you to write this down because it's happening all the time. It is a fact that time and chance is always taking place in our lives. Those are those variables and invertibles, those things that are taking place that we don't even have a clue that they are happening around us, that life and death is taking place around us all the time. And not only that, let me just throw in something else. That is the unseen world of angelic forces that are taking place as well. So you take that, coupled with time and chance, the faith that we're in, having faith, trials and tribulation, faith, the things that I get myself into, the things that people bring on me, the things that the devil's trying to do to me, and just life in general. Listen, let me tell you something. You need the providence of God in your life.
Lord Jesus.
just think about all of this. And these are the circumstances and the situations in our lives daily that oftentimes when we take for granted and we don't even think about on a constant basis. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because we're just going through the normalities of life, systematically, what we do habitually, whether we get in our, Gail told me this morning on the way, I got to have my coffee, I'm having withdrawals right now. I need my coffee right now. Just thing that we systematically do all the time, but we fail to realize that there is something that's going on in and around our lives all the time.
All the time.
So let's look further into this. Let's look at some scriptural premises of the text. Since time and chance happens to all of us, and life is happening all the time, There are some real questions theologically, biblically, that we need to ask ourselves. Number one, how does the providence of God work with life's time and chance unfolding daily? How does God work? Because if we believe what the Bible says, that God is omniscient, which means that he knows all things, all right? He's omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere at the same time, at the same place, all the time. Then time and chance is happening. Which means that when you begin to think about that, if time and chance is happening and God allows time and chance to happen, then I need God to get into my situation.
Right.
Y'all see this? I need God to get in my situation. So no matter where I am, no matter what I am doing, no matter who I am with, no matter where I am going, I need God in that situation all the time, because time and chance is happening all the time. It's something that is inseparable. So the providence of God is at work when the time and chance is actually taking place, which means I know for a fact that there should have been a certain situation or circumstance that took place in my life, or people that are in my life, or people that are around my life that can disrupt my life in such a way I need God to intervene. Which means this, and I want you to write this down. Learn how to speak God into your existence. Into your existence. Whatever it may be, speak God into your existence. Because it could be that easily, like Jabez, that God's favor, God's blessing, God's providence can change the equation and the fate, F-A-T-E, of the outcome. Well, prove it, James. Well, 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fish, over 10,000 people, 12 baskets left over.
That's right.
You do the math.
Right?
You do the math. Okay? 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fish, close to 10,000 people, all right, and 12 baskets left over. What are you saying? Speak God into the situation. And God changes the fate, F-A-T-E, of the outcome. Let me give you another one. Right. And we read these things, we quoted them, we've heard them preach, all right? You remember Jesus at the wedding?
That's right.
Wine ran out?
Yes.
Y'all know what the person who was hosting it? He said, usually they serve what?
The good wine.
The good wine wins. Perfect. Come on, y'all. Put Jesus in the situation.
That's right.
Put Jesus in the time and chance, put Jesus in the situation, and the situation changes.
All right. That's right.
Can my fate truly determine my outcome in desperate situations? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Romans 8:28 says, and we know, having knowledge of, intimate knowledge of, affirmed knowledge of, that in all things, God is at work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to purpose. Can you see why it's so important that you ask God to give you a spiritual purpose for your life as a child of God? Because when you have a spiritual purpose, the Christian life is not boring. It's not boring.
Right.
All right. Because now you have a purpose, because now you're living in a state of excitement, because you're just waiting on God to use you, because you made yourself user friendly. You made yourself available. You're just waiting on what God is going to do. And that's exciting. That's just exciting. The providence of God. We can safely say through the scriptures that every movement of Christ was an act of God's providence. That's a fact. All right? Jesus was very careful about his movement. I must go through Samaria.
That's right.
I must go through Samaria. All right? Purposely staying back. You know, when he gets word that Lazarus is sick, and the word is profound, is coming from the sisters, Lord, the one that thou lovest. Making the very person, one that you love, is sick.
That's right.
Watch the contrast of his action. I'm going to stay behind just two more days.
Come on up. Come on up.
So we know for a fact that that every movement of Christ was an act of God's providence, a purpose. Because in every situation where you see Christ was holding himself, don't tell no one who did this. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why. Because God works his providence in his own time.
Yeah.
So you have got to have the enacted providence of God in your life, working in your life, no matter how it may look. Because God is always going to bring it out for the glory of him.
That's right.
Well, you don't have a choice, but you know what? That's why we just say, praise God. I go, I didn't do this. I don't know how. No, that was nothing but God. And you have to leave it at that.
Yes.
You can't really explain it, but
right.
You have to leave it at that. Because you know God is at work.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
So we see in the case of this mother, her time and chance was getting ready to be introduced to the providence of God. Her faith was going to be sealed by her faith. You see the two connecting factors there?
Yeah, that's right.
All right? The faith, F-A-T-E, is now going to be determined first and foremost by this right here, her faith. I heard Jesus was in town. I heard that he was close by. I need to get up. That's trusting in God. Her desperate situation, her daughter's really vexed with the devil. She moves herself, all right? The movement of her life, of time and chance that was taking place with her life, with her daughter, is now moving. She moves forward now toward Jesus. Now her faith is getting ready to be changed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There are life and divine movements in our lives daily. They oftentimes go unnoticed. I mean, just think about the excitement that we are missing, that the expectation that we're missing, that oftentimes we force or we're compelled to be moved by our own norm of selfishness, unawareness, whatever the case may be. Our ignorance gets in the way, our pride gets in our way, and yet God is getting ready to do something, just on the verge of doing something, and self step in.
Mm-hmm.
And we hinder.
Yes.
The glorification of God showing up to show us that he's God. Amen.
Amen.
So there are life and divine movements in our lives daily. Oftentimes, like I said, they go unnoticed. Mark 7:25 reveals that when this woman heard that Jesus was in the area, she came immediately and fell down at his feet. It was this woman's hopeless situation that pushed her faith to Jesus. And anytime God invokes his presence, our faith is changed for the better.
Amen.
Right.
That's what makes it really exciting. You know, it's changed for the better. Which the unknowing of not knowing, you know, and you're waiting on God, he's getting ready to mount your wings like an eagle and you're going to soar high.
That's right.
Right. That's what it's really all about. It's understanding now. I'm waiting on God. And so my expectation now is now, I don't know what God is going to do, but whatever he's going to do, I know it's going to be big.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know it's going to be wonderful. He's going to let me testify and tell the story about what and how he was able to move.
Amen.
The other thing that the word that we're afraid of is revelation.
Hmm.
You know, looking for a revelation of God. I look for a revelation of God all the time. Oftentimes, when we associate revelation, the last book in the Bible, all right, that's what we associate revelation about. But God reveals himself through many different things all the time.
Amen.
But oftentimes, the carnality of our minds, the naturalness of our mind, we can't see it.
Mm.
You will see him best in your trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
We can have patience and balance. Don't miss that operative word there, balance,
mm-hmm.
when we know that our faith is going to equalize our faith.
Mm.
Paul writes to the Philippian church in Philippians 4, he says, and the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what he says. He says, now he's in prison. He says, the peace of God shall keep your hearts. That's your emotions.
Yes.
And your mind.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So no matter what is happening around me or what's happening taking place around your life,
mm-hmm.
because you have faith in God, all right, God is going to keep you at peace.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
God is going to hold your peace. Experiencing the process that reveals the glory of God. There's always a process. throughout the scriptures. It's peppered with different situations and circumstances where God starts at this point, you know, but he has a reference point that he's getting ready to take you somewhere. Mm. He's getting ready to take you somewhere. What we've got to learn how to do so is appreciate the journey.
Mm. Mm. Well, that's right.
Gail and I, a few years ago, we took a trip. We drove to go see our grandchildren and went all over the place. We went from here to Pennsylvania, from all through the Virginias, West Virginia, and down to Georgia, back up through Texas. And now I'm a country boy. And I love scenery. So sometimes I would just creep the car around about 55 miles per hour. Gail is ready to get to the grandkids. I want to see the scenery.
All right.
We ain't going to never do this again, sweetheart. Trust me, we ain't driving no 10,000 miles, no more. But since I'm on this trip right now, I'm going to enjoy going through Utah. Salt Lake City, oh, breathtaking. All right. The flatlands of Nebraska, loved it. All of it. Boring to some, but I loved it all.
Right.
Because I love the scenery. I love the journey. So, though we was able to connect more so just because we was in a car with each other for all those hours, I was able to connect also with the reality that God is just so grand. Amen. And bigger than California.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Bigger than California. You know what I'm saying? I know we got the beaches and the waters and all those wonderful things, but he's bigger than California.
Right.
All right. Learn to appreciate the process.
Yes, sir.
No matter how it is, no matter what it is, learn to appreciate the journey. God permits, you have to understand this, this is critical. God permits, God allows, God even arranges the situations to open the door for revelation.
Hmm.
Read the book of Job. That's what that's all about. God permitted, God allowed, and he even arranged the situation.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then he opened the door for revelation. To allow Eliphaz, Bildad, and so forth to see that Job ain't done nothing wrong. His trial was not because he sinned or sinful. His trial was not because he was wrong. His trial and tribulation was because he was strong.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. And now look at the revelation. God increased him even more than what he was. How else will we attribute praise to the right source? And this is critical. Because oftentimes we attribute it to ourselves, or we attribute it to somebody else, or we attribute it because we had money in the account, or we attribute it because I networked, man. That's how I did. I was networked. What? Really? No, God was at work, not no network.
All right.
God was at work.
Yes.
All right, that's what happened. Give God the glory. Because oftentimes we attribute the powers of God in revelation, and revelation is what you want.
Yeah.
All right? Because you can have manifestation, because that's the evidence. But revelation reveals who was it that gave it to you.
Yeah.
That's the distinctive difference.
I know that.
Manifestation just gives the evidence of that's what it is, that's who it is, or that's how it is. But I want revelation because I want to attribute it to the right source.
Amen.
That's right.
Time and chance brought her to Jesus. The providence of God intercepts her fate. Remember her fate? Not her faith now. But her faith, her situation was gloom, it was dark, it was dismal, it was discouraging. You know, she was compelled. That was her faith. A hopeless, desperate situation. But her faith and devotion to God changed the outcome of the faith of her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
God doesn't take us out of the situation. He gets what? In our situation and reveals his glory.
Mm-hmm.
God did not abort the custom nor the culture. I love the presentation of Lamont. So appreciated it. Because all the time we think that God got to change the fact that, you know, whoever we are, or however things are, or the custom. No, God can get in the situation. We're talking about God. God can get in the situation. Look at the Beatitudes.
Yep.
All of those was Jesus telling them, your situation may not change. But if I get in your situation, you're going to be blessed.
That's right.
So oftentimes, God does not change the situation, Kyle. He gets in the situation that you can see his glory. And what better way to give God glory or the evidence of the revelation of God is showing up, proving to others who have no belief in God that there is a God when he gets in the situation and shows up to make things better.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I was not sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I know my purpose. Matthew 15:27, for it is not meant for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. All these are customary things in the culture. Jesus does not change that at all. Even he is acknowledged of that, how the culture was back then between the Jews and those who were Gentiles. Mm-hmm. This is right. How they look at you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I've showed up to change how you're going to look at yourself.
Oh, I know that.
And that's right. What it's all about. It's about you understanding, no matter how people may view you, be you a single parent, be you what your situation may be in, God gets in the situation, now people are going to still look at you the same way because they're going to hate on you. Mm-hmm. But I didn't come to change them, I came to change you in your situation, that you can look at your own self the way God sees you.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
No, that's right.
Because you want to feel good about yourself. And when you start feeling good about yourself, then no matter what the situation is. It is through her faith that we are able to see concisely and clearly the picture from faith perspective instead of a distorted view of life. And oftentimes we see our life through a whole different distortion of a paradigm that's distorted. We can't see it clearly. All right? How else could we say that God is at work in all things for the good? As I work out my soul salvation and as life issues formulates through time and chance, I can, we can, you can have a sense of peace knowing our faith is not left to itself. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Let me just give you just a couple of things because I want to address some questions and I hope you are ready to address some questions. The faith and in Christ. In Christ we are put in place in a position. Being in Christ is about position. Getting that position, God changes our disposition. That's our attitude. That's how we see things, our outlook, our own look of several things. That places us in direct correlation and connection with two powerful concepts that we run from in the Lord's church, predestined and predetermined. For the New Testament Christian, these are terms connected to the church. Mm-hmm. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That's predestined, predetermined. There are certain things that God has predetermined and predestined. All right?
Right.
And you and I can't change that. Mm-hmm. All right? So while life is about time and chance, my life is in Christ, and being in Christ places me in position to be on course that is predestined by God. My faith now determines my faith. Mm-hmm. Be it desperate, discouraged, dismal, I can have spiritual peace by knowing that my life and my faith is in the hands of God, who holds all things in his. He's a God of providence.
That's right. That's right.
Just as some added thoughts that consist of what we're talking about, the doctrine of Christ, salvation, purpose, systematic precepts, the church, redemption, reconciliation, the word, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Finding your centering in Christ, walking in the spirit, seeking God's face, consecrating your life as a child of God. Any questions at all? It's 10:15. I got about 5 minutes. Any questions at all? There's just other things that you may want to make note of. You know, being resolved. Keep on knocking. Keep seeking. Don't be thin-skinned. You can't be thin-skinned walking with God at all. Know your limitations. Mm-hmm. All these are so important to have God at work in your life. Any questions at all? Yes, ma'am.
How do you think prayer and how do you think prayer draws God into changing your situation?
Say that first part again.
Prayer.
How does that draw
God into changing your situation?
In a huge way. In a huge way. Number one, you have recognized that you need God's presence, the activity of God in your life. Whenever a child of God or individual prays to God, they are self-aware that they have limitations. In that, they are also trusting in God to be unlimited with whatever resources he chooses to bless our lives. And you are directly involving your life in such a way that you're placing your confidence, your trust, and you're entrusting your life with what that prayer is all about, whatever the situation may be. And that's huge. You're invoking God's presence.
presence in your situation. So prayer is absolutely, you know, necessary, because it necessitates you going forward. It keeps you. It's a release. Now, therapeutically speaking, it's a release. You're being able to share, convey, say, affirm, speak loudly, speak certain things into existence as you pray. So it's definitely a release, not only therapeutically, but spiritually as well. You know, so, and that's with anything or with anything in your life. So it's absolutely something that is necessary for your life. It's a great question. Was I that clear? That's a first. any questions at all? What about in your own life? Have you seen God at work with time and chance taking place in the providence of God moving in and on your life? How many of you have actually seen the hand of God at work where, for a fact, you know that only God did this? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because oftentimes, that particular revelation of affirming that kind of manifestation that takes place in your life, where, you know, oftentimes we see God processing certain things that is taking place in people and circumstances, but oftentimes you can see God literally just moving people or moving situations away from you or to you to get you in a place where he wants you to be, because that's movement, that's divine movement there. And only God can do that. So I'm so glad to hear you say that you have actually seen the hand of God do that. Now, you do know that you don't hear this in the Church of Christ. You are talking out of box now, okay? These are terminologies and phraseologies that we just don't hear in our everyday lingo. All right, you don't hear that every day in our lingo. So when you're talking this kind of talk, that lets me know that, you know what, you have placed in your life certain things that's beyond the norm of what you are accustomed to. Because you need to see that. Yes, Kai, and yes.
So right now I'm watching God move people and circumstances out of my life, but I'm also waiting to see what his next purpose is.
Wonderful.
So what to do in the meantime?
I was just going to ask you, first of all, my first question to you is, what are you doing now?
Okay, I'm praying.
Okay.
I'm studying.
Okay.
I'm worshiping.
Okay.
I'm praising.
Okay.
But I'm waiting.
Okay. So you doing all the right things. One of the things that I've had to add to the equation of my life as to bed, enlarging my territory, those kinds of things, is that I'm learning to not ask God for nothing but to just praise him. I'm just praising him right now. I'm just praising him. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just praising him right now. And what that does for me is that in my mind, I'm letting God know whatever you are doing and whatever you're working on, you know, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise you anyway. Because you can't place yourself in a position of expecting a certain this, that, or the other. Because you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. You're setting yourself up to really put yourself in a position where you start trying to do something on your own.
Okay.
And that's what you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do things on your own as if God needs some help.
Okay.
No, mainly what God needs from us is our availability. Okay. He creates the options.
Right.
He opens the doors and closes the doors. I just want to be available when it takes place. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want to be going to no doors and check and see, okay, this door going over here. Oh, I need to be closing this door. No, I'm praising him, because when he gets ready to do whatever he's going to do, he's going to move you toward it. Because what you're doing right now, you're walking in the spirit. You're walking in the spirit, and God is going to move you toward that direction. So you're doing all the right things. Just ask God to give you patience along the way, long-suffering along the way, And ask God to allow you to see and discern what's really before you beyond the external. Ask God to give you spiritual discernment. Mm-hmm. That's what you pray for. Mm-hmm. And where you can see the insight of what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a situation right now, and Gail can take this. We're going through a huge transition over the last year that we've been working on. So I sit with individuals, I listen to individuals, and I allow individuals to talk to me, but I have to push it away because I want to hear God. I want to hear God. I want to know God's revelation because it's critical to what we are trying to accomplish to make sure that that's the will of God. And I want to make sure that I don't circumvent what God wants to do by me putting myself in a situation and trying to make things happen, because I do that oftentimes. You know, I can get in the way because I know how to plan, I know how to administrate, I know how to orchestrate, but I've been moving myself back, stepping back, because now I need God to do this, because it's bigger than me.
Right.
It's
yes,
bigger
sir.
Than me. Yes, you are.
A little funny that what you were saying before, because I see myself like as like the Hagar and Ishmael. Like, I get it. It's like God makes this promise. It's like I know it's going to happen, but he's taking a little too long. So sure. He jumps the gun, but I'm like, well, what do you do after you jump the gun? And it's like, because that's, you know. Like the whole
God is in the reshaping and reconfiguring business. That's the great thing about. See, we see things our outlook of situations. Oftentimes, our distorted own look of what we have done. For lack of a better way of putting it, not to say this is your case. I messed up. Now I need to reassemble, or I need to not do this or do that. And what we need to do. It is just simply do this. Just hear God. Here.
Amen.
Amen. Here. I messed up. Acknowledge that. You know, I messed up. Now I need for you to take care of this.
That's right.
And handle this. Now I'm going to wait. Now I'm going to pray. Okay, I know that's the answer we typically hear, but in your prayer, you're specifying and you're supplicating. And that's another word that oftentimes that we don't hear enough of. We are earnestly entreating God specifically and concisely about certain particular or peculiar things that we need in our own lives for that moment or for that situation. And you continue to do that. You continue to keep on knocking at that door. And that just shows that you are truly believing and you're not going away from what you truly believe God wants you to be, or how he wants you to be, or where he wants you to be. So you just keep knocking and be very spiritually tunnel vision. You know, I tell our young Christians there at McDonough Avenue, stay off of Facebook. Stop seeking advice through people that don't know you.
No, that's right.
Stay tunnel vision to what you're trying to accomplish and where you want to go. Because that's imperative for you, because you can get off your course. Yeah. And whatever that may be in your life, sir. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate what you said, because it's something I have experienced for several years. Things in my life that are very disturbing. And what I've done, I've just prayed about it, asked God to help me to get through this, and just give it to him, let him work it out. And I drive me on a daily basis, and I have come to have peace within myself. At the same time, all this stuff is still going on. That's God right there, and I appreciate that lesson.
Oh, praise God. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
As you hear him, I know that it's him.
That's a great question. That's a great question. And I was going to comment on this, kind of surmise what I'm trying to say. It's absolutely imperative that you pray for discernment when there's revelation and manifestations, because the devil can reveal some things as well, and the devil can manifest some things as well. So there are several different concepts of what I call how we go through fiery trials. First of all, there's an internal flame. That's self creates all kinds of problems for our lives. There's an infernal flame. That's the devil. Alright? That's the devil literally attacking your life. Alright? There's an external flame, and that is just life extremities, things that just take place, you know, that are just happening. Just, you know, it's not that you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's just things just happening. is just taking place, you know, different than the average human beings.
Right.
And then there is those just people that's around your life, in close proximity to your life, that's creating trouble and stress for your life. Those kinds of situations, you have to discern when things are taking place with your life and to your life, where is it coming from? That way you can specify in your prayer to God about whatever they may be. If you have created the situation through self and through a lifestyle of self, then you need to acknowledge that with God. If it's Lucifer that you know, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. You know, you have to understand why you've been persecuted. Why does Peter says, you know, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that shall try you, as though some strange things is taking place with you. All right, don't think it's strange. He said the reason why you're under attack because of the devil in them is mad to God in you. You have to understand those things. And then those external things. What kind of people do you have around your life? Who has an influx and an inroad into your life? So all those things you have to consider when you're praying and talking to God. That way you can determine as well as discern that this is of God, this is of me, this is coming from my friends, this is coming from my enemies, or this ain't nothing but the devil. You see what I'm saying? But you have to do that. You have to do that with a clear understanding of what is going on with your life and to your life. Because I want to be able to put my hands on the situation. I want to find out, okay, was this me? If I did this, then God, I sinned. You see what I'm saying? I acknowledge that. Or if it's coming from him, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I keep him at a distance. I want to love you. You can be my brother in Christ. I want to love you, but I'm going to keep you at a distance. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about discernment. It's all about discernment. You know, if it's coming from my inner circle, you know, my children, then I need to acknowledge that. If my stresses are coming from that, I need to acknowledge that. It's all about discernment and perspective. That way I know how to deal with every situation. Now, I may not have clarity of it. I may not have a concise, clear understanding of it immediately, but at least I'm taking it to God to reveal to me how I should deal in this situation.
Amen.
God bless you guys. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you.